He's the voice of the Valley. Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on The Beacon.
7:34 on Hudson Valley Focus Live on The Beacon. Good morning, Mr. Ed Kowalski.
Thomas, how are you? Robbie, how are you, sir?
Robbie's doing well.
Robbie's working. He's got his back to me, so he can't really acknowledge my comment there.
Because he's busy keeping your show running.
Tom.
And he's getting educated.
He's getting educated. He's doing everything. There you go.
Getting educated.
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Ed?
I am well, sir. I am well. Thank you, Robbie.
Of course.
So,
lots of things have gone on since I've last been in here, huh?
Yeah. Let's talk about Jenny, though.
Sure.
And there are folks who may be hearing this story for the very first time.
Uh-huh.
And give us the real brief Cliff Notes synopsis.
The 30,000 foot overview?
The 30,000 foot overview.
I could go into a lot of different details on that. But yes, I can, Tom. And thank you for the opportunity of being able to come on in and talk about that. Because, you know, you and I have done things for years in terms of being able to sort of point out sort of things that are wrong with the system, things that are wrong with the government, things that are wrong with our court systems. And we try to be able to shine a light, right, in terms of what's going on. And ultimately, you know, when that light needs to be shown, you know, in your own personal life, it's a difficult thing. Because my daughter had a situation that has gone on now for the past 4.5 years in the federal court system, right, up in the state of Connecticut. And that involved her former employer, Prudential. It involved her using her personal devices at work. Now, there's a lot of different things we can talk about. Personal device use at work, and particularly during COVID, which is when she was employed there.
Right. And we want to caution people right from the outset to have a clear delineation between your personal and business.
It is so important.
Yeah.
It is so important. That being said, a company like Prudential, okay, was allowing their employees to use personal devices. You know, as a matter of fact, they were training their employees that it was okay to be able to do. Okay? So what ended up happening is Jen ended up leaving Prudential.
Yep.
And what ended up happening is she ended up going to a competitor. And then going to a competitor, Prudential said, well, listen, you know, we want to take a look at what you were doing on your personal computers. And she did. She allowed them to be able to access that information. And, you know, she complied with their requests to be able to say, sure, you could take a look at whatever you want to be able to take a look at, which was a reasonable thing to do.
Yep.
And which because she didn't do anything in effect wrong in terms of what she was doing, other than using her personal device, which is what every employee was doing at Prudential. Now, I spend my career in labor relations,
right,
and human resources. And of course, I mean, companies need to be able to have very clear and very, very succinct policies, you know, regarding that kind of situation. So anyway, to make a long story short, they looked at these devices. Jen actually surrendered her devices to a forensic examination company. Okay.
Now, was that mandated that she do that?
No, did it voluntarily.
Did it voluntarily? I've known about this story for a long time, but I could never remember whether
she did it voluntarily. You know, the forensic examination firm, you know, said that there's nothing in these devices that would be considered proprietary or trade secrets. Prudential kept on pushing, and they filed a suit in federal court, okay, to be able to continue this forensic examination on their terms. Okay, so what ended up happening is. A court order was issued by a federal judge up in Connecticut to say, hey, listen, of course you can take a look at this. Prudential has a right to be able to take a look to make sure that there's nothing that was done, incorrectly, if you will. So they said, but examine the devices with date ranges. You could go in, you could take a look at the data that's on those devices from this date to the following date, okay? You need to be able to let Ms. Kowalski and her then attorney know what you looked at. So what ended up happening is, they did examine those devices, but what they ended up doing is they ransacked her device. Okay, they actually, when Jen got the file in terms of what they looked at her medical records, they looked at her banking records, They downloaded all of this information. Now, what Prudential did is they said, oh, you know what, guys? I'm sorry. This was an inadvertent data admission.
Right.
But now what we want to do is we want to be able to make sure that that inadvertent data that we were court ordered to send to you, Jen, that you're going to delete that. Now, why would they want to have that deleted, Tom?
To cover their ass.
Exactly. Exactly.
No, that's...
Exactly. And I'm being very blunt with you on that. So what ended up happening is Jen said, no, I've already complied with this court order. I'm not doing it. And she found herself in front of a federal judge named Victor Bolden up in the state of Connecticut. Nine years on the federal bench, appointed by Obama. Okay? Senator Grassley from the Senate Judiciary Committee. Okay, who confirmed him? No, he was not. He was confirmed. Every Republican on the committee voted against him, and you know why? Because Senator Grassley said he's an activist in robes. Okay. Anyway, to make a long story short, Jen said, "No, I'm not going to let you do this. I've already complied with it. If you will, there's no, you know. So, and there's a legal definition for inadvertent data, but I'm not going to get into that. If you will, but at that point in time, because it's irrelevant to the case, what he ended up doing." Is during the course of an evidentiary hearing when Jen was trying to be able to make this point. At this point in time, Jen wanted to go pro se, meaning she wanted to represent herself. She ran out of money in terms of being able to pay for these attorneys.
Sure.
So what ended up happening is, what he ended up doing is, in the middle of a court proceeding, he ordered her into federal custody, taking her out of a courtroom with witnesses there.
Shackled.
Well, actually, no, she was returned to the courtroom shackled.
Okay.
She was taken out of the courtroom, you know, and she was sent up to a holding cell in New Haven, okay, which is where the court proceeding was returned to court for the afternoon session wearing shackles, belly chains, and handcuffs. She was instructed to sit down at the table and proceed with the hearing while handcuffed. I'm sitting there outraged in terms of what went on.
I honest to God, I don't know what I would do in
it
that
circumstance. It gets worse, Tom. It gets worse. U.S. Marshals ringed her the defense table, okay? And Jen, very politely, who was distraught at this point in time, she was told by the judge, continue your examination. And she said to him in a quiet voice, can you remove my handcuffs? And this judge said no.
What was his rationale?
He just was being, I don't know what his rationale was. I mean, he was sending an optics message, if you will. So that being said.
I don't know what I would do in that circumstance if it were my daughter. I honest to God, I don't know.
No. I've never seen anything like it, Tom. Other attorneys that I've spoken to when I've related this story have never seen anything like that. Gets worse, okay? It gets worse. That was the first time she was put into custody, okay? He then scheduled a second hearing, okay, a couple weeks later. And what he ended up doing, he did the same thing. This time what he ended up doing is he ordered her again taken into custody because she's refusing to surrender the passwords to her personal cloud. By the way, at one point in time, she said, I don't even have a Google Cloud Drive. Doesn't matter. He ordered her into a van. They took her to a federal penitentiary, penitentiary in Rhode Island, where she was overnighted, where she was kept overnight.
An amendment in that Constitution up there about securing our papers?
Well, there's a whole bunch of amendments in regards to that kind of issues. Gets worse, if you will. Okay, so at that point in time, what I ended up doing is I called the appellate court, and I spoke to somebody and let him know what this judge was doing. Okay, I got a phone call then the next morning, or that afternoon, from Judge's Chambers saying that we're going to return her to court tomorrow for another hearing. And they did. And at this point in time, Tom, my daughter was escorted back into court by 11 U.S. Marshals on a password in a civil case.
11? Seriously?
11 U.S. Marshals. 11 U.S. Marshals. She was wearing an orange jumpsuit and chains. And I looked at this judge and I said, I can't believe what you're doing. Okay, I said that. At which time a U.S. Marshal came over to me and said, get the F out of this courtroom. That's what he said to me. So folks, listen, you know, I know that this is sounding very, very unbelievable, and I do appreciate the time to be able to talk about this. I can tell you this, that this has been a 4.5-year trip through hell for my daughter, specific to these issues. Now, the bottom line of it, Tom, get this. She never surrendered her passwords. She never gave them the passwords. The judge just closed the case. So that's what we got going on here, folks.
11
U.S. Marshals. Yes. So, ringed her.
Did she ever threaten
no.
them?
No. There was no use of vulgarity. And by the way, I have filed now 3 judicial misconduct complaints against Victor Bolden. I have not heard back from the Second Appellate Court who hears these things. They've been filed for over a year. I have not heard back. And you raise a very, very good point, because that's in effect what I said, if you will. Okay, there was no demonstration of aggression, vulgarity, or threatening behavior toward the court's staff or the judge itself. At one point in time, Judge Victor Bolden looked at my daughter and said, you are playing games. You will only speak when I will allow you to speak. I will have the COs lock you up unless you comply.
7:46 on Hudson Valley Focus Live. Ed Kowalski in discussing the situation that his daughter's been put through for years. When we come back, Ed has filed a petition on change.org that we're going to tell you about. Remove Federal District Court Judge Victor Bolden. Back in a minute on the Beacon after the sports report.
Wake up informed. It's Hudson Valley Focus with Tom Sipas on the Beacon.
7:49 on the Beacon. I want you to count down the days here. I want you to visit dshomeservices.com, dshomeservices.com. Now they've got the special running now through September 30th on the installation of the 3-season mini split whisper quiet energy efficient AC system. Do away with those unsightly window air conditioning units and don't worry about it again. Now through September 30th, a 9,000 BTU unit is only $4,899. Please do it now. Do yourself a favor. Visit dshomeservices.com. Back to my conversation with Ed Kowalski. Ed, I just am in absolute disbelief and shock as to why, with everything going on in this country, a judge or a federal marshals would have 11 federal marshals there. This is like 100% irrational.
Well, look, Tom, I can't listen. You know, obviously this issue is personal to me.
Yeah.
It's also professional to me. You know, and again, you know, this is an issue that I think has got long-range implications for everybody. You know, when you end up seeing, as Senator Grassley said, that Judge Victor Bolden would be an advocate or in a robe and he's not an impartial judge, you know, I got to tell you something. I don't know what his rationale was. This is a very simple case.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter voluntarily surrendered her devices. Take a look at what you need to be able to take a look at. NBC News Connecticut covered this story. If people would take the time, just take the time, folks, go to change.org. Take a look at the petition that's on there. It's called Remove Judge Victor Bolden. I put the NBC News story
yes.
on the petition site. Read what I wrote, and if you so are inclined to be able to sign it, please do, because the Constitution of the United States, you know, allows for things like this to be checked. Things like, because remember, these judges are lifetime appointed
right.
people. okay? And if you don't think that this could happen to you, you're wrong. You're absolutely wrong. You know, and the other issue too, Tom, that we were talking about earlier, before what's going on, one of the things that I'm going to be doing through the Valley Viewpoint, you know, is I'm starting with a number of other attorneys, a court watch program, you know, and just to be able to just in effect keep an eye in terms of what's going on and to report back to people in terms of what's happening. Because if you don't think that there's corruption in the courts, you're wrong. If you don't think that there are personal agendas being pursued by these judges, you're wrong. If you don't think that there are people who have been wrongfully convicted in criminal matters and have had their lives ruined in civil matters, you're wrong. And we need to be able to keep an eye on it. Sunlight is a strong disinfectant, and that's what we're going to be doing.
When I go back years, and talked about the weaponization of federal agencies. It was particularly egregious.
Federal judiciary is a very big example of that.
Yes,
Tom.
And so was during the when the Tea Party movement was formed back around 2009, 2010. And individuals were you know, creating chapters around the country and filed with the IRS for not-for-profit status.
Right.
And, of course, the one that was really got the attention was a woman out of Texas, I believe. She and her husband owned a business. And I don't remember what the business was. They had been in business for 20 years, had never been subjected to any kind of audits. She, as the head of this Tea Party forming group, filed with the IRS for not-for-profit status. Next thing you know, the EPA showed up at her door.
Mm-hmm.
The OSHA showed up at her door.
Sure.
The IRS wanted to audit everything, mm-hmm, to silence a voice.
Sure.
And to use that. And if
people, and Tom, I've seen examples of that throughout my entire professional career. Back in the day, when I was a risk manager handling environmental claims for a very large manufacturer here in Connecticut. Okay, it was amazing to me that one attorney said to me, he said, listen, depending upon the outcome you want, ask the question this way. And it was just amazing in regards to just how out of control and how far-reaching that bureaucracy is. You know, and it's something that we need to be aware of. It's something that we have to challenge. It's something that
this is what I've said. How many years have I been talking about Woodrow Wilson and the creation of the administrative state?
Sure, sure.
And this, if people think this isn't real, and they have been operating extra constitutionally, in other words, outside of the framework of our laws for more than 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chevron case that was before the Supreme Court last year or 2 years ago, and I forget when it was. This is a perfect example of this, of administrative agency. Congress makes the laws, and these agencies are supposed to administer them. Now, shame on much of Congress for having abdicated their sworn duty, mm-hmm, to exercise oversight.
The Constitution, Tom, provides in the situation that I'm talking about with my daughter, the Constitution provides a remedy for judges who abuse their power or trample the rights of individuals. It's called impeachment and removal. Now, do I recognize that this is a long this is a big deal? It absolutely is. And I hope I get 10,000 signatures. I hope I get 100,000 signatures. Chuck Grassley himself has told me, Ed, you get 5,000 signatures, we'll talk. You know, listen, that's what we...
Change.org, remove federal district court judge Victor Bolden.
That's him.
Is it? And please, I urge listeners, visit that. Change.org, remove federal district court judge Victor Bolden. Watch the video
NBC News
that aired on NBC News. And
This is not just me. This isn't This is not a dad. This is not somebody who's a local advocate. Watch how it was reported. Listen to how it was reported, you know, and then act on it if you feel that this far no further. We can't allow this to happen.
We have over the last, and honest to God, I mean, this these goalposts, whatever you want to call them, have literally been moved for 100 years. In terms of the administrative state taking for itself. Now, why does this happen this way? Well, there are some of the politicians out there who just love this. Ed, you tell me you have a problem with that particular federal agency. I'll see if I can help you. And wink, wink, nod, nod. I realize what I'm saying. It helps, you know, if you've written campaign checks to, you know, checks to our campaign committee.
Right.
If people think that this isn't happening in America, you are sorely mistaken. I hate to be the naysayer about this, but this is what has evolved. And I've watched this now going back, starting at probably around 1960. And the ability, and you and I have spoken from the time we first met.
30,000 employment regulations, right, for a new business in New York.
Exactly. And why? Why? Because the established businesses have partnered with those already in government to put up barriers and speed bumps to help limit competition. Our own federal government has been violating the Sherman antitrust laws.
You know, it's interesting.
We only have a minute.
It's interesting. You know, when Charlie Kirk first went on the very first college campus that he visited, you know what he did? He set up a picnic table and a sign that said, "Big government sucks." That's literally what he did.
Yeah.
That was his first campus, meeting. And look at where we are now.
Yep.
That's exactly where we're at.
Yep. Ed? We're going to set up something where you spend an hour with me or so
once
a week, and you talk about your podcast and your other things that you're working on here. And, again, the best to Jenny. One more time, change.org. And the issue is remove federal district court to judge Victor Bolden.
That's
and watch the NBC video.
Thank you, guys.
Going to go from that to talking about Dutchess County Medical Reserve Corps Prevention Month here in a minute on Hudson Valley Focus Live on the Beacon. Plus, going to give out the next keyword after this break.